This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging out with us here on this show. Whether you're here for the first time or you've been here many, many times before. So let's start with this. The former president, Donald Trump, his name was mentioned a lot during the day. Why? It's the January 6th committee hearings, this time not on prime time. It was in the morning hours, just before 11 o'clock Eastern. The takeaway from the second hearing is Trump's inner circle claiming they warned him that election fraud claims were absolutely false and that Rudy Giuliani had too much to drink and was telling him to fight back, and it wasn't true, because this is what we kept hearing over and over again. Every time I checked in, I heard Giuliani this and Giuliani that. Seriously, I don't know that I've heard his name as much in all the years of covering Rudy Giuliani in some way, whether he was mayor of New York or the lawyer that the former president was relying on. But so much of that became part of the conversation, you know, that that was a line that they heard over and over again. Even from Jared Kushner, there was a clip played from Kushner, his son-in-law, who was one of his top advisors, meaning Donald Trump, where he had flat out said that it's, you know, that this isn't right. The numbers aren't there and the election is over. So he wasn't buying what Giuliani was saying. Ultimately, we have more of this committee to go through. They're going to have more public hearings. What's going to be the takeaway? What is the point? It's like somebody said to me today, and they were being serious. They weren't being snarky. They weren't saying I'm a Democrat, Republican, you know, whatever. They were just saying, what's the purpose of it overall? What are the objectives? Because I don't understand what the objectives are of this, right? They showed a little bit of the slices of these video depositions. And again, most of it was his former advisors saying they tried to tell him that there was no substantial fraud in the election, right? No matter who it was, whether it was a son-in-law or whether it was somebody else in the inner circle or whether it was the Bill Barr, the attorney general at the time, who looked at it and said no, no, and no. Now, last week's hearing, which was in prime time, had about 20 million viewers. So I guess they were comparing it. Something I read was comparing it to census numbers. And I guess it's fewer than 1 in 10 adults if you look at the census. And it was carried by ABC and NBC, CBS, PBS, CNN, MSNBC, and other outlets. So you look at the other political offerings that have been out there, and I like this comparison. I want to say it was in the Washington Post. They talked about the State of the Union had 38 million viewers. So what does that mean? I mean, are people paying attention? Because what happens in the next election? And what happens in the next election is, does Donald Trump, does he run again? Because there are more than hints of that. Is his popularity there or not there? Are there other Republicans like DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who really wants to run for president? Is he ultimately the one that would garner more of the needed amount of votes in these primaries that would push him to the top, or would it be the former president? So is there any kind of an effect on Trump's popularity because of these January 6th committee hearings of what's being said and what's being determined and ultimately what the end is? What's the solution of what happened so we don't have this happen again? And also, what is the end result of this? Nobody can seem to give me an answer to that question, by the way. So as I said, this is about the tale of, you know, two different presidents. Biden, on the other hand, has seen the biggest drop in approval ratings, especially with young voters, since taking office. Now, polls are polls, and you can really take, I think, all the polls, pull them together, and get a better sense of it, because if you took all the polls, you would get numbers in the 30s. If you look at one particular poll just among young voters, only 43% of young Democratic voters believe the president is following through on promises he made during his campaign when he was on the trail, compared to 60% of average Democratic voters. That's just that question. So this particular poll that I'm going to quote, the Morning Consult, they just did this 2 weeks ago, and they saw the approval ratings fall in several age groups. They have it at 41%, but if you take all the polls that are out there, you get 30s. And I would think that anybody around the president who is watching, especially other Democratic Party leaders, would they be concerned about Joe Biden running again? And this decline among young voters is really a lot of female Democrats, right? Compared to the male voters, they showed that there was a difference of like 20%, where females are, you're talking maybe 60% approve of his performance, maybe. While with the male voters, it's closer to 80%. So for whatever it's worth, there are big concerns in the Democratic Party as to, especially you look at the economy, because really, when people cannot afford to live, they look toward leadership, right? That's what the inequities, the very basic needs that aren't being met for a lot of families, the decision to not have families because of affordability or how the economy is perceived and where it is going. You look at the Dow. The Dow was off again today. It sunk. It was ugly. The Dow was down 2.8% or 876 points. The Nasdaq was down 4.7%. And it actually has gone down more than 10%. That's the big number. 10% of anything, 10% in the opposite direction in the past two trading sessions. And part of this is recession fears. There is a lot of fear out there that we are going into a recession, and that what's the Federal Reserve going to do with inflation? Oh, unfortunately, those numbers they keep putting out, I think, are not sending us in the opposite direction. Prices are just soaring, as you know, from food and fuel and everything else in between, including mortgages. Anybody who's trying to find a new spot. Coming up next, a conversation with author Deborah Gottsky.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented patented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Deborah Godsey joins us for a conversation about a couple of different books that she's written. And one of them, Love's the Only How, Story of a Schizophrenic, a Diary of Lovers, is so intriguing to me. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
What is it that people don't understand about schizophrenia?
They think that a schizophrenic episode is not real. It's totally fabricated in their mind. And usually in my situation, my episodes were triggered by a real situation. And I just, as a schizophrenic, just the fear, we take it to the point, to the worst point that it could happen. And the fear of that worst situation just immobilizes us. We can't hardly speak. We're so fearful and defensive and that we become unreasonable to talk to, and we need to be calmed down and treated as though the situation is real and what to do about it, instead of being treated as though none of it's real and just left to our own defenses.
Did you know something was wrong? I mean, how did you get that diagnosis in the first place?
I ended up in the hospital the first time because I have been having my first major episode, and someone got hurt during that episode, and so they hospitalized me, and I was just honest with them about, I realized something was wrong, and I realized while I was in the hospital, I realized they told me they thought it was schizophrenia, and I read over the material, and I recognized several of the signs, and I was just honest and told them exactly how I was looking at things and how I was seeing things, and that's how I got my first diagnosis.
Wow. So you write the books. Tell me about the books. Love's the Only House. Give us a kind of a movie trailer version, I guess, of what we would expect in this book.
Okay, well, Love's the Only House is not about schizophrenia. That's Portillo. Love's the Only House is about my childhood and how I ended up in my first marriage and the abuse of the situation that I was in for years, how I slowly woke up to the abuse and even saw a possible abuse with my children. That's where I start standing up and fighting against what I was seeing. And actually, the abuser ended up leaving the situation and leaving us. And I just, things changed like a light switch from one situation to another. It was just amazing the difference once the abuser was gone. And I share with in Love's the Only House about what to look for and what I saw, signs I saw, and what I did about it, things, mistakes I made. It's kind of like a go-to guide for if you suspect abuse, especially children, but of anyone in your life, and how to handle it and not handle it. And I'm sure there's things missing from it, but that was my own experiences from
what
that.
What made you decide you were going to write this book? And was it to try to help other people and also to help yourself by getting it out there in the world?
It did help me. That was not my intention, but I did write it to help children in abusive situations. That's, to me, got to be one of the worst things a person can go through is abuse as a child. Of course, in the book, I share my very happy childhood and how I grew up, and I still ended up in that situation. I was told at the beginning of the sign was seeing the signs, start writing things down. So I wrote my notes down and kept set in my mind what I wanted to write and how I was going to go about it. And then several years, about 10 years after I saw the first signs, I finally sat down and wrote the book. And like I said, that it's just I don't want to see children hurt, and I want to help anyone get out of that situation as quickly as they can. My responses to the situation turned it around for my boys, even though they did end up in the abuser's hands later on. I believe the way that I handled it caused the abuser to think twice to do it again.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful that there's a mission definitely attached to that. The second book, Story of a Schizophrenic Diary of Lovers, tell us about that one.
Okay, that one is the continuation of my story where I have already been divorced and already been separated from my children for years. I met the love of my life, and he helped me through it. We both worked to get money to travel many miles to court to get to see my boys and to fight for my boys. And it's a love that we shared and how he helped me and how the whole situation, the whole abusive situation from the first book caused schizophrenia in the second book, and it shares my episodes, it just shares everything I could think of about schizophrenia to help anyone in that has been triggered by schizophrenia.
So with both books combined, and I think you've really told us this, what do you hope the takeaways are for people who get the books?
For Portillo, I hope they take away a better way to treat a schizophrenic. I think there's a lot of confusion about schizophrenia, and I hope that they can see the situation through a schizophrenic's eyes, and they can help us better by understanding us better. And again, for Love's the Only House, I hope they take away just paying attention to their children and watching for signs and taking a stand if they do think that they see something. And in both books, the biggest takeaway I'm hoping for is that people will see how the Lord above is just always there with us, always holding our hand and helping us get through.
So as we wrap this up, where can people get your books?
Okay, they're in professional edit right now. It's going to be a couple more weeks, maybe not, hopefully not even a month before they're back up. But once they're up, they'll be available in hardcover, softcover, and Kindle. And they'll be available anywhere online, I'd say, in Kindle or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anything like that. And I'm not sure about in bookstores yet.
Perfect, but that's the place where people go, so Amazon is the thing to remember for sure. Deborah Godsey, that's how you can look all this up. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, a quick little man cave few notes here. I've been watching these NBA finals, and I've had a couple of you ask me what I think. Well, the Warriors were on fire for Game 5. They knocked off the Boston Celtics 104-94. Andrew Wiggins was the part of the reason for that. Steph Curry, too, at the tail end of this. So Wiggins had 26 points, and Curry offensively was amazing. I mean, what he can do with the basketball is inhuman almost. I'm watching him just like, well, I think when I see LeBron James at his best. But he's fed the ball, looked at teammates, no-look passes, you name it. And Wiggins, too. I mean, he was a big reason why Game 5 went their way. And they have the advantage, I think, coming up in this next game, one more game, and they can win yet another championship. And it just goes to show you that as the world turns, some things remain the same. Steph Curry will go down as one of the all-time great players, and he nailed the shots he needed to nail when they needed him to, and that's what was the key thing, the key takeaway is right out of the gate, the Warriors dominated, and they dominated in the fourth especially. That's where they pulled away for the double digits and the win ultimately. And turnovers killed Boston. 18 times they coughed up the ball, and that led to 22 points for the Warriors. You can't do that, and it's what people keep saying over and over again. You can't turn over the ball, because once you give them the ball, they add that to what offensively they're pouring in, and that made a very big difference in that game for people who are paying attention to the NBA Finals. And I've already talked about this. The Stanley Cup is set. It's Colorado Avalanche and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Go Bolts. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Wall Street has fallen into bear market territory. The Dow lost 876 points, a near 3% drop. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ lost 531 points, or about 5%. The S&P 500 lost 151 points, or a close to 4% fall. Economist Julia Coronado telling the PBS NewsHour that the catalyst for the sell-off happened Friday.
We got some higher-than-expected inflation readings again. And one of the major gauges that the Fed watches of consumers' inflation expectations rose to the highest level since 2008.
She adds that's prompting speculation that the Fed will raise interest rates much faster than it signaled. Out west, crews from California to New Mexico are fighting wildfires that's forcing people to leave their homes, including hundreds on the outskirts of Flagstaff, Arizona, who were told to evacuate. This is USA Radio News. The January 6th House Select Committee says they would show that former President Trump knew he lost during the second day of public hearings. During some testimony, the former president's closest allies and aides, including former Attorney General William Barr, told the committee that they advised the president that his claims of a stolen election were wrong. The committee played part of Barr's video deposition.
I think all the early claims that I understood were completely bogus and silly and usually based on complete misinformation.
Trump's campaign manager Bill Stepien was to testify in front of the committee but canceled at the last minute due to his wife going into labor. Police in Idaho say they are getting death threats following their arresting 31 men affiliated with the white nationalist group Patriot Front near an LGBTQ event over the weekend. Coeur d'Alene Police Chief Lee White says his department fielded about 149 calls in the aftermath of the arrests overall. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Possibly this might be the best title of a book. Europe on a G-string for summer lovers everywhere. L.A. Flurry joins us. She has written this book. And oh, the wild adventures she takes us on. L.A., thanks for coming on.
Kate, I am so excited to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
So you told me off the air this was a book that was in the making for quite some time. So before we get into your adventures, what made you decide to write this book?
Okay. I guess when we came back from our trip over 30 years ago and we started telling everyone about the crazy situations we found ourselves in, everyone kept saying, you've got to write a book, you've got to write a book. You know the way people do when you start telling stories. And I said, yeah, one day I'll write a book. And, of course, I don't know why I didn't back then, but, of course, timing is everything, and so I didn't. And then one day I was at work, and I saw this magazine on a coffee table, and I read my stars, and it actually said, if you're thinking of writing that book, now is the time to do it. And I thought, oh, my goodness, the book. So I went into my home office, switched on the computer, and I started to type. And all the memories and stories came flooding back to me. And it was like it was yesterday, and I couldn't stop typing, Kate. It was crazy. And I was actually laughing out loud as I was recalling, I guess, some of the more memorable and hilarious things that happened to us along the way. So it took me all that time to decide, yeah, hey, I'm going to do this now. And it was all because of me reading my stars. Can you believe it?
Love it. So tell us, I'm so excited. Tell us a little bit. We're not going to tell them every story, but give us a couple stories from the book that you really like.
Okay. Well, there are a few flashbacks in the book because I had been to the Greek islands previously and met this Greek god, shall we say. So this trip now with my two girlfriends was a few years later, and I decided to go and surprise him, shall we say. So he was still in the same village, and I found out where he was. And, of course, this is seriously well over 30 years later. So he had aged and looked slightly different, not the Greek god that he once was, but still a beautiful man. So I went up to him and I said, "Hey, it's me." And he looked at me with disbelief. And I don't think he registered that we'd met all those years ago and had this wild, crazy fling. So I had a photo of the two of us when we were in our 30s, and I showed him, and you could see it registering in his face as he was looking and going, "Oh, I do remember now." And he said to me, "Come in." He had this shop, this souvenir shop. So he took me inside, and we talked and talked and talked for ages, and it was so fantastic to see him again. He was married, obviously, after all that time, had a couple of grown-up sons, and we just laughed and reminisced, and he actually told me of another Greek guy we knew back in the day who was still in the village, so he sent me off to see him, and that was great fun. You look and you think, how on earth has all this time passed in between? It was crazy. And a couple of funny things happened to us in Venice. We met three policemen, and they said, "Oh, you know, you bellas, you beautiful, you come for a drink with us." But it didn't turn out that they wanted a coffee. Dare I say they wanted a lot more, but you'll have to read the book to find out what they wanted.
And would you suggest that people should have adventures like you did and just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy?
Oh, my goodness, Kate, absolutely. I think it's difficult. It has been difficult to travel during COVID. And I guess that's another reason I think my book is a pretty fun book to read, because I think it helps people escape this COVID world at the moment. And some readers have actually told me that they felt like they were on the journey themselves. And that's what I want readers to experience. I want this book and my story to take them away to beautiful places, the sun shining, everybody's young and happy, and there's no trouble in the world. And I just feel that it's one of those books that will take you away to a little bit of fantasy. But my advice to anyone who can travel, oh, for goodness sake, please travel, because I think that is education. I think if you've traveled, your education is finished. What I mean by that, you get an education by traveling.
Boy, isn't that true. We're speaking with L.A. Fleury, and the name of the book is Europe on a G-String for Summer Lovers Everywhere. After you wrote the book and then you actually had a copy of the book in your hands, what was that feeling like? It had to be tremendous.
Oh, my goodness. It was almost like a dream. I was actually holding almost my life in my hands. It was an incredible feeling. My publisher did a wonderful job. The cover looks fantastic. And I just love everything about the inside of the book. It's beautifully done. So, yes, it was like a very magical moment, Kate, for me to actually hold my story in my hands. And I actually felt quite proud. And I do encourage people who do have a story, please write it. I may have mentioned to you before that at the beginning of my book, it is dedicated, firstly, to my dearly departed parents, and it's also dedicated to everyone who has a story to tell. Please, authors, potential authors out there, I did it, you can. Please sit down and write your story. You will be amazed, and then you will have a magical moment like me holding the book in your hands. It's a great feeling.
Do you think in writing this book and experiencing those adventures decades and decades ago, Europe on a G-String for Summer Lovers Everywhere, which, by the way, you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, do you think that that opened up your mind as you were growing up because you had those experiences and met so many people from different countries? And, hey, you, as a young woman, you weren't afraid to go out there and experience things.
Yes, I loved experiencing what I did. As a child, I was always a bit quirky and always wanted to know more, wanted to talk to, I always spoke to strangers. I remember back, because I'm from Liverpool in the UK originally, and back in the day when I was about 5 years old and we had trams, and I was sitting on a seat in front of my mother, and she heard me talking to this lady, and I gave her a sob story that we were very poor. In the end, the lady gave me sixpence, and my mum said, "Oh my goodness, what are you doing?" But I think she quite liked my sort of wit, somewhat artful wit. And I've always been like that. I love talking to strangers. I love befriending people. I like to do good. I like to, yeah, embrace people and their own stories. So I hope people will embrace my story. I really do, because I think they will finish the book and they will feel good. It's a feel-good story. There's a few little iffy bits in there because we did come across some rather interesting situations, shall I say, with various people we met. But it made us stronger. My girlfriend and I had to hitchhike at one stage, and we were told afterwards that someone actually got murdered on that stretch of road only 3 weeks previously. So we did some crazy things, but we lived to survive, and I've lived to tell and write the story.
Boy, no kidding. I love that. So nice to find that out afterwards. Thank goodness, when you were hitchhiking, you didn't know that before.
But you know what, Kate? We still probably would have, knowing us.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. How fun. Europe on a G-string for summer lovers everywhere. I love the title. How'd you come up with the title?
We wore G-strings. back in the day, we wore just G-strings on the beach. And I guess Europe on a G-string, it just was meant to be. In fact, from the very start, when I thought to myself, when everyone said to me, "You've got to write a book," I thought, yeah, you know what? I will. And it's going to be called Europe on a G-string. And 30 odd years later, here it is. It's happened.
Absolutely. You nailed it. You nailed this book. You nailed the title. You nailed everything about it. Europe on a G-string for summer lovers everywhere. L.A. Fleury, what a delight to speak with you. You can just feel that energy.
Kate, it's been an absolute delight to speak with you. You are amazing. Everybody loves you, and everyone speaks so highly of you. So I'm so grateful to you for allowing me some time on your show and to chat with you. I'm so grateful to you for that.
And it was, again, wonderful to have you on the show. And just a reminder to everybody, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, pick it up. It's a perfect read for the beach, for the train, for just sitting somewhere cozy in your house. And
Yeah, absolutely. It's great for a short plane ride somewhere, or, as you say, anywhere. Sitting at home when it's raining, you can take yourself away to Europe, into the sunshine.
That's what I'm going to do. So thank you so much, L.A. Fleury.
Thank you so much, Kate. Have a great day, and thank you so much.
Perfect timing for L.A. Fleury's novel, isn't it, when you think of beach and beach reads and going to the beach and the fun and frolicking that now we're starting to see that people really, really long for. And there she is talking about what the experiences were like. I love the title of that book, too. When you think of when you think of it, you think of just having fun, relaxing, and being on a beach somewhere. By the way, that could be man or woman for sure. So we thank L.A. Fleury for joining us on the show.
Do you have those
has well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Blue skies mean everything is all right. Sunrise lifting in the skies. Blue skies mean we are gonna play nice. Sunrise till we say goodnight.
Laura Burke joins us. She's written a book, Black Orchid. And I started thinking about this when you think of titles. And it's interesting, the novel that she's weaved here, and it reminds me of a lot of small fishing areas. And this is, takes place in a village in Connecticut called Watch Hill. Laura, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this interview.
What made you turn to writing? How did all that happen?
I started writing probably about 12 years ago, and it gave me a release from the tensions that I had at work. I could kill people off legally.
I love it. Exactly. That's where you put it. So you decide to start doing this, and tell us about the story. Tell us about Black Orchid.
Well, Black Orchid is in a small fishing village, and this gentleman, he buys a cottage there just to get away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life, and he finds these little pieces of driftwood on the beach, and he starts carving little animals out of them and selling them to the gift shop, because there's a lot of people that come there, you know, to do a lot of fishing and stuff. And I love orchids, no matter what color they are. And I had seen a photograph of a black orchid, and I said, you know, that would be an excellent title for a book. And that's how it began.
And, you know, you tell us about this island, and you talk about this island that's covered in tall pines and has lots of foliage and, in fact, very, very overgrown. Tell us more about this fishing village and Watch Hill.
It's a very small village. There's maybe 20 or 25 people that live on the island. And there is a widow woman who runs a gift shop. And now she also has a couple of cottages that she rents out, you know, during the fishing season. And it just, it's a very quiet, supreme place to go just to relax and just get away from the city and the hustle and the bustle of everyday life. And that's why it's so overgrown, because nobody does anything. Nobody cuts the lawns. Nobody trims the trees. You know, it's just a very peaceful, serene place to be.
Yeah. When you were writing this, as you said, it was just a great release for you. Did you feel like the characters kind of poured out of you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have 12 books on the market. I did a Mason series, which is a detective who goes around trying to solve murder cases. I just started a new series called Jolene, and she's a PI that dabbles in trying to find out who did what to whom on cold cases that have never been solved. The characters, they all become reality to me. They are individuals who I can picture in my mind, like the woman in the gift shop. She's a little overweight, and she wears a bib apron, and she's just mama to everybody on the island, and everybody loves her. And the gentleman who moves there, he just falls in love with her. You know, he's a lot younger, and he thinks of her as his mother, basically. And every time he has a new animal creature that he's developed out of these little pieces of driftwood, you know, she puts them in the shop and sells them, and she's just so proud of him for, you know, taking the time to do something like that, and that he is so gifted. And I can see him doing it. I can see him with the little whittle knife, you know, in his hand and carving on these little pieces of driftwood and making little seagulls or little pieces of fish, you know. They just all come to life.
And certainly that's what it feels like. You feel like you're really in the book when you read this book. You really have put us in this, you know, in this village. And as you said, you have these other books out. Is there a process? People are always curious about how somebody writes. Do you have a process for writing? Is it morning, night, you have to have a cup of coffee, you have to be in the woods, you have to be by a beach? How do you do it?
Well, I have a full-time job Monday through Friday. And then on the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, after I've had a couple of cups of coffee and a little bit of breakfast, I open up my laptop and I turn on the television and I put my feet up on the recliner and I put the laptop in my lap and I wait for something to pop in my head I start working on a book and I forget all about the TV being on. But when you start focusing on writing, and the whole world just kind of disappears. And you get so involved in the story and where it's coming from and where it's going. Somebody asked me, well, how do you decide who's the killer? And I always tell them, I never know who the killer is until I get to the last chapter.
Yeah, you're discovering it as you're writing it. I love it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for Black Orchid, when people read this book, what do you hope they take away from reading this novel?
Well, I hope they take away that I kind of fooled them at the end, that they enjoyed the story, and they would like to read a lot more.
Right, and go through and find some of your other books. What do you use for inspiration? I mean, I know that the stories come to you, but are there things that sort of happen around you or you observe that you think may end up popping into your books?
No, not really. I think it has to do with the mental capacity of how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling like I'm very angry, that something during the week has really upset me, and I'm really angry about it, then I can throw that into one of my characters and just have them be very belligerent to everybody around them. Or if they're falling in love with somebody, I think of my husband and I can make a love scene out of it. It's like if you went shopping and you've seen several dresses that you liked, or pantsuits or whatever, and you just had to have it. That's the way my writing is. Something pops in my head, and I say, oh, you know what? That's excellent. I'm going to put that in my book. Sometimes at work or at lunchtime when I'm taking lunch, I think of something that, you know, hey, you didn't do so-and-so in that book, so you need to go back and fix that. And I'll go back and I'll reread that chapter and see, oh, you know what, I should have put that in there, and I'll put that in. So the thought process is going on all the time. Sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and think of things that I should have done or should do and that I want to do. And I'll make little notes. And then when the weekend comes, I'll put it in my novel.
Wow. So just like that, I love it at all different times of day. Well, you can get Black Orchid and other books by Laura Burke, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for the interview. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Me too. Thanks, Laura.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I love the enthusiasm of Laura and the fact of how she just tells you like it is. Well, this is how I write. I plop down, I'm watching the tube, and then that just evaporates. But she also has it rattling around in her head and thinks about it different times of the day. So like Black Orchid, where she takes you on this journey, the idea of the island, and as she describes to you, people who just do whatever they want, they don't care, they're not worried that things are overgrown, they're not concerned. And you think about, like, look around your environment and what people are concerned about, keeping up with the Joneses, or does everything have to be manicured? And the fact that she likes orchids and brought orchids into it, and orchids are really known to be a very sturdy kind of flower. They can take, as she even says in her book, they're very hardy. They can take a lot of abuse without causing them harm. So there is an interesting angle in this book. And as I mentioned, you get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks to Laura for coming on this interview. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.